a depressing subject today. The two wild beasts. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're starting chapter 13. And if it were up to me, we would finish chapter 13 today. But I am agonizingly thorough about these things, and so we will delve into the two wild beasts. And we will show you, I will, in fact, some of the translation problems of the King James Version. What do you know, big surprise there. Want to identify for you the second wild beast. And do I know who the first wild beast is? No. Is the first wild beast the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness? Yes. It is also a system, and that's confusing here in the unveiling. It's spoken of as a power and as a person. So we will, don't worry, going to solve all these problems for you. But in the meantime, I have to solve them, and that is what is so damn depressing. Okay, chapter 13, verse 1. And it was standing on the sand of the sea. Now, we've already gotten into some of this. We've already talked about this, about the diadems and the seven heads and ten horns. But please, accommodate me as we delve into the depressing details of what this is probably what it is. It's how easy humanity will be duped. And one of the main things, I'm getting ahead of this, but I don't care. One of the main things that these beasts do is perform miracles. And these miracles make me sick. The miracle of this resurrection, resurrecting the wild beast, and this miracle makes me sick. And people today are so primed for these miracles. It's being set up. I honestly believe that the Pentecostal religion has been set up in 1910 or whatever with the Azusa Street miracle in Los Angeles, California. It was set up as a harbinger, a forerunner. Like John the Baptist was a forerunner for Christ. Yeah, that was a good thing. This is an evil thing, and I believe that this Pentecostal religion set it up so that the populace would be soft and dumb and wanting a miracle and dependent on miracles and not thinking that the favor of God was upon it unless it has miracles. This is why Paul warns the Hebrews in the book of Hebrews that you cannot crucify Christ afresh. They kept looking for something to happen that was not going to happen again. In other words, yes, there were miracles associated with Christ's first coming. But Jesus Christ himself didn't point to those miracles as a proof of his messiahship. It's true that they were, but there's a very rich and adamant deception out there today that makes miracles the be-all and the end-all. And Satan has now hijacked the whole thing. That's my point. Satan has hijacked the use of God's miracles. I told you that that's what he does. I told you. Yesterday or someday, I told you that it's a hijack operation of Satan. He looks to see what God does. Oh, we got a bunch of nice miracles coming up here. Satan was not in the miracle business before, but he was in Egypt because why? But why? Why? Ask yourself. Yeah, the magicians imitated Aaron and Moses' miracles. Why? Because they were reacting. Again, if Moses and Aaron had juggled chainsaws, then that's what the magicians would have done, juggled chainsaws. That's no miracle. It's a honed skill. But if a miracle is presented by God, Satan will imitate it. And so, the miracle done by God was raising Jesus Christ from the dead, number one miracle. And what makes me sick is that the Antichrist's number one miracle, or should I say the miracle of the false prophet, who's the second wild beast, the main miracle there is resurrecting the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, the first wild beast. And that makes me sick. And so Pentecostalism makes me sick. And all these people who, ooh, they get, ooh, and they get all excited about seeing the power of the Lord and the power of Jesus and the power of Jesus Christ will come upon you. And all this Benny Hinn bullshit out there. And Joyce Meyer and miracles. And they pray for miracles. And people want to see stuff. And I'm telling you, Satan is preying upon this need of the populace today. And they've been softened to it by the Pentecostal church, who not only emphasizes miracles, but adds to it the worship songs and the singing. And it's become evident, these miracles, that God is with you. This is paving the road for the false one world religion. It's paving it. That's why it's no big deal that how can millions of people be swayed into this? Because they already have a taste of blood. I'm thinking of the sharks in the ocean. Have a taste for blood, and then you crave blood afterwards. Once you get that taste for it, you crave it. And then you go to it. You sniff it out. And Christians got the taste for miracles. Well, Paul, if you would have followed Paul in the first century, he is weaning you off miracles. He's saying, no, we want our blessings to be spiritual and without sight, without sound, without taste, without touch. That is a true move of the Spirit. These other miracles were helps for the Jews who inherently themselves look for a sign. Yes, God gave them a sign, so it's God's fault. Okay, but yeah, they became so dependent on the signs that they forgot the God and camped around the signs. And when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, they thought, where's Moses? So we're going to make a golden calf, and maybe our false gods will give us miracles. And you bet they do. The false gods do give miracles, and they will give miracles, and it's, oh, it just oozes out the pores of chapter 13 with these freaking horrible false prophets and beasts. And but the thing is, the secret of lawlessness, and this is a secret you know and that I know, but the world does not know, is that this sickly manifestation comes across on the earth as a slick, polished organization. It comes across as a system that can help you probably discover your true potential. But even more, it will help you to live in the world, to survive in the world. And that is eventually going to come to you worship the wild beast, or you don't eat, you don't buy, you don't sell. But this will be no problem, because I remind you that this is all coming out of the dragon, the first vision here, the first sign of the dragon. The dragon animates the wild beast. And it's called a wild beast, but again and again I say, that's not the way it's manifested. It's manifested as a system that is also called the wild beast. And it may be challenging here in the unveiling to differentiate between when is the wild beast a system and when is it a person. I will help you. I am here to help. And I thank God that I'm talking to you right now. Otherwise, I'd be going crazy with this stuff. Obviously, I need to vent, and thank God you're here, and this microphone is here, and this wonderful painting is still in front of me of the wonderful seaside cottages on the side of the sea with the sailboats and the palm trees, and my God, people, it's all going to go away. All this stuff, all these systems now that we come to rely on. The problem is, just like the miracles, that the systems become so enticing, so tempting, that it is no big thing then to be graduated to another system. Remember in Daniel, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're used to kingdoms, and Jesus Christ brings a kingdom. But in between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of Christ, spoken of in Daniel chapter 2, there is another kingdom. And we are looking at the birth, even now, of the fourth world kingdom. It's not hard to graduate to it for people. This is why Jesus said, Jesus did say some great stuff at the end of his life. My kingdom is not of this world, he said. If my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would be fighting. But his kingdom was not of this world. Now, world is different than earth. It is going to be on this earth, but it's not going to be of this world. Follow me here. The word earth is eretz in the Hebrew and ge in the Greek, I think. And that's the earth, this terra firma, where we're sitting right now. The kingdom is going to be on this earth, but it's not going to be of this world. The world is the system, the way things operate. Jesus' kingdom was not of this system. And this system is now being hijacked, has been hijacked for a long time, is being hijacked. What the? No, it has been hijacked a long time ago. When Jesus came, he infiltrated this system. And he showed us, I hate to say this, but I'm going to, a better way. Air quotes, a better way. But it really is a better way. And the better way is to be in the world, but not of the world. There it is right there. Can't give you a verse right now because I don't know it. In the world, but not of the world. Somewhere in the Bible. Read the whole Bible. You'll find it. We're in this system, but there's another system. And Paul, our apostle, takes us farther down that road than anybody else in the scripture for us. He tells us, he's the one that tells us that we are blessed in Ephesians. Read the first chapter. This is your homework. With every spiritual blessing among the celestials. And he's weaning us, trying to do us a favor to keep us from deception by weaning us off physical manifestations. That's why in the beginning, Paul did miracles. In the end, no. In the beginning, he healed people with his handkerchiefs. In the end, no. He left his friend Trophimus sick in Miletus, and he told Timothy to take wine for his stomach ailments. Where are the miracles, Paul? And Paul's in jail. Is he delivered from jail at the end of his life? No, he is not delivered from jail. But if you look at the Peter's career in Acts, he's delivered from jail. And right, the angel comes in the cell and lets him go. And people today want to go back to the Pentecostal era. That's why it's called the Pentecostal church. They like the idea that Peter gets out of jail. They like the idea that Peter is healing a lame man. But even Peter realized that that administration was giving way to another one. The Pauline administration, Paul's administration, the administration that takes us from sights and sounds and miracles to faith, raw faith, faith alone. Then you become plugged into the mind of God and you're not so swayed by the circus act that this world has become. And I'm talking about worldly and religious. It's a circus act. They're in cahoots, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't noticed, this Barnum and Bailey is in cahoots with the Pope and Joel Osteen. It's all one. And this is going to just become more pronounced and more profound, except it's going to be attached with really, really impressive miracles. And the world, again, is primed for it, but not you. Not you. Don't go anywhere near it. I was saying 2 years ago that I could possibly see a rise of miracles as the kingdom draws near, but I withdraw that statement. I was giving somebody else at the time credit for, well, okay, someone I know, a friend of mine, was talking about people in South Africa raising people from the dead. No more. No more of this. This is satanic at its core, and it is priming people, the inhabitants of the world, not for the coming of Christ, but for the coming of the lawless one.